All right, well, take your Bibles this evening. Almost said this morning. Some of you have told me that you're really tired. So here's my solution. We're going to do some math tonight. That usually helps when you're tired and exhausted, is just do some simple addition. Really bring back the, you know, I don't know, maybe we all ought to get up and do some jumping jacks. Whatever you got to do to stay awake. You'd rather do math than jumping jacks. All right, good. Me too. All right, well, let's look at this then. We're going to continue through our timeline, and tonight we're going to be looking at from the creation to the Tower of Babel. So just really quickly to look at what we did last week, we were looking at this period of time we call the Age of Innocence. It's this first little dispensation here, this time when man had been created but had not yet sinned. And so this time frame was very likely very short because they were commanded to have children. We know that they didn't have children before they sinned, according to the scriptures. So this little period of time between the creation and the fall of man, we call innocence. Now, there's a question mark above it because we don't really know how long that time went. If you talk to most people who have studied the Bible pretty intently, they would tell you very short. Some say hours, some say days, but most people say it was very short. The fact is, we really don't know. We just know it happened before they had children. Now, we will know the number of years from creation on forward. So we'll fill in the blank. Really, this line here, fall of man, we just don't know where to put that, whether it goes closer to the creation or further this way. For our purposes, it really doesn't matter. But we looked at this first time period. We also looked at the fall of Satan, which definitely happened after the creation, but before the fall of man. So it happened somewhere in that light blue period. I put my arrow far to the left for reasons I explained last week, but it could have happened anywhere in that time, realistically. So tonight, we're going to try to look at, we're going to try to go from the time of the creation all the way to the Tower of Babel, and it won't take us as long. We don't have to look at every single verse to get there, but we're really, again, we're going through this chronology so that we can understand the big picture of history. What is the Bible about from cover to cover? And this, if you'll learn these things, it'll really help you when you go through and start reading your Bible and you're like, why am I reading through this long genealogy? We're going to see tonight genealogies are very important in the Bible, but we need to know what the big picture is. And so last week I included the fall of Satan in the plan because everything we're going to talk about as far as like the events we look at are, well, they're like human history altering events, okay? The fall of Satan was a human history altering event. And Satan pops his ugly head up all throughout our history, all throughout the Bible, and it began very early in the book of Genesis. So we're walking through these different dispensations, and the dispensations are separated by major Bible events. So don't get too confused about what we're doing. We're just taking major events like creation, the fall of man, the flood. Everyone agree the flood was a human history changing event? It was huge. Tower of Babel, another human history changing event. So we're taking these major events and we're just going from point to point, walking through this kind of Bible timeline. So again, big picture. Last week we covered that in eternity past, God desired a kingdom and he began to create. Satan fell at some point at the beginning, and he immediately corrupted the kingdom by leading man into sin. So one of the first things we see in the scriptures as we move throughout is the fall of man. And I saw this week. Another preacher was preaching, and he preached about how when Satan came to man that first time, the very first thing that Satan did was question God's word. And he came, and he was just, the first thing he did is question, yea, hath God said? And he questioned God's word. And that is the story of what Satan has done since the very beginning. He's still trying to do it today. And that is the prophetic story. He's going to continue to try to overthrow God's kingdom until he ends up in the lake of fire. That's it. So the story of the kingdom is quite simple. It's the Lord desired a kingdom he created. Satan was lifted up in pride and fell and goes to corrupt the kingdom. And notice in Genesis chapter 3, And after the man and woman have sinned, and of course Satan has sinned, there's a scripture in verse 15. It's the very first prophecy of the coming Christ. So Genesis 3:15 says, "I will put enmity between thee," he's talking to Satan, "and the woman." The woman will be the seed of Christ. It'll be Israel. So he's saying, I'm going to put enmity, hatred between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So there's a lot in that verse. We could take time and really break it down. Essentially, what's being said is there's a curse being placed on the creation and man and woman. He gets down to talking to Satan, and he essentially tells Satan, your end is going to come through a promised seed. It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will be the end of Satan. That's what he's saying. And so he's in Genesis 3:15, it's prophesied, no, you're going to fight. You're going to bruise his heel. You're going to fight Satan, but he's going to crush your head. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to overthrow you. Well, that is a prophecy that begins to be fulfilled really quickly in the Bible. I'm just going to give you this really quickly, but I'm just saying all this to show you how these events that we're looking at, like the fall and the flood and the Tower of Babel, they weren't just sort of happenstance events that just kind of happened by chance. The longer I live, I believe little is by chance. You know, I just think that there's purpose in everything. I think that I don't think we give the devil enough credit for some of the things that do occur in our life and how he so easily gets us off track. And he was doing this in the Bible. So just taking a few events, in chapter 3, verse 15, we find that there's a prophecy that says Satan is going to try to destroy the seed. Well, he does just that. Adam and Eve have a child. His name is Seth, not Seth yet. His name is Abel. What happens to Abel? He's killed. He's killed by Cain. You think that was just a brotherly dispute? Well, it was, but who was behind it? You know what? For all Satan knew, that was the seed, and he had to destroy it. And so it's destroyed. Then here comes Seth, and then a lot of people are born, and before you know it, there's a bunch of people on the earth. We can read in Genesis 4 about Cain and Abel. We can read in Genesis 6 about Satan corrupting the seed and the flood that had to happen. We can read about the Tower of Babel, which is actually on the next slide, actually. But the Tower of Babel, this major rebellion against God. So God gathers up all the people that are on the earth, and he just says, we'll just turn, or Satan gathers them up rather, and says, we'll just turn them against God. And so in Genesis 11, we have that first rebellion. The Old Testament is full of Satan trying to overthrow the kingdom. In Sunday mornings, we're going through the book of Exodus and looking at Egypt. That is a ploy, again, to keep the children of Israel in bondage. Satan is trying to keep the seed from coming through the nation of Israel. He's doing it all the time. We see it throughout the Old Testament. In those kings and in all the stories of the kings we're going to look at, we'll see that there's a miraculous preservation of the line of Christ through the stories of those kings and how God preserved life and he allowed that seed to continue. We see it at Jesus' birth. At Jesus' birth, who was standing ready to destroy the seed? Well, Herod. Herod was. Did you know, right here in Genesis 3, it tells us this. We could also look at Revelation 12. We won't, because we'll look at it later. But you could look at Revelation 12 and see that it's prophesied that the devil is standing ready at all times to devour the seed as soon as it's born. So he's looking for Christ. He's trying to destroy Christ. He was there with Herod when Jesus was born. I thought about this today, actually, because today I was going to preach about revival. And then we're not having a revival, so I had to switch gears. Now let me get back to chronology. And I was thinking about this today. When Jesus died on the cross, Satan probably thought he had him right there. He probably thought he had won. And I know you're probably thinking, well, Satan knows the Bible, and he does. But did you know the New Testament wasn't written when Jesus was hanging on that cross? And so for all Satan knew, Jesus, the Son of God, the seed, is dead on the cross. And for a few days there, 3 days, you kind of wonder, what was Satan thinking? Was he thinking it was over? I'm not sure. I wasn't there. I'm just telling you, he's trying to overthrow and kill the seed, bring in the kingdom, bring him in his own kingdom, if you will. Well, the Lord didn't stay on the cross. He rose from the dead, And we could go through the future events. We will one of these days. But what you need to know is all the different things we're going to read about in prophecy. It's the devil trying to overthrow God's kingdom and God bringing in his kingdom. So tonight we're going to look at some genealogies. Woohoo! Everybody's excited as me. Yeah, we love to look at numbers. And I do want to try to keep you awake. I know it's tough. Wednesday nights are, I've been right where you are. And I know it's hard. I appreciate you you kind of hanging with me. But genealogies are important in the Bible. I know when you get to them, you start reading these genealogies, they can be really, really tough. But what we're going to do, we're going to look at some of the genealogies to get the years, the dates between these events so that we can better understand these periods of time. So right up here, I have the dispensation of the sons of Adam. Now remember, a dispensation is just a period of time where a certain group of people had a certain stewardship. So they had a different responsibility. So the easiest one to see is before Adam sinned, he had a different responsibility than after he sinned. Now, why I call this dispensation the sons of Adam, and why I call the next one the sons of Noah, is because what you'll find is right after this big event, the fall of man, right after the fall of man, we have a genealogy. And the genealogy is titled by the biblical, or the Bible terms it, the book of the sons of Adam. So for the next several years, we have the story of Adam's family. Not the Adams family, but Adam's family. We have that story going on. And then we have this major event that happens over here, the flood. And guess what? Right after the flood, there's a genealogy. You know what the genealogy is called? The book of the sons of Noah. Okay, so that next period of time will be the sons of Noah. Then we have this big event about the Tower of Babel. And guess what comes right after the Tower of Babel? You'll never guess. A genealogy. You know what the genealogy is called? The sons of Abraham. Okay, and so it's easy to understand. We're just looking at these big events and then the groups of people, and then God's given us information about each one. So each of these events we're just looking at as a waypoint in history. The flood is just a waypoint in history. The fall of man is a waypoint in history. And it just, the Bible navigates between these waypoints. And we're going to see enough tonight that you'll see God purposefully gives us information to connect these waypoints. And it's really neat. If you like math and spreadsheets and genealogies, you're going to love this tonight. Okay. If you don't, I'll be done in just a few minutes. Okay. So we have the dispensation of the sons of Adam. Then we have the flood. We're going to have the dispensation of the sons of Noah. After the Tower of Babel, we have the dispensation of the sons of Abraham. Then there's going to be after Abraham, we're going to have the law given, and we'll have the dispensation of the law. The dispensation we're in, we could even call it the dispensation of the sons of God, because as we're saved and we're in the church, what's God called us? The sons of God. Did you know what the New Testament starts with? You'll never guess. A genealogy. In fact, two of them. It's connecting the dots in the Bible. Now, again, we could even look at the future ages for sake of time. We're just going to get started. So we're working tonight from the point of creation. And just so you know, we're working with the sixth day of creation because that's when Adam was created. So we're working from Adam's, not his birth. Have you ever thought about this? Adam never had a birthday. He was created as a grown man. It's kind of something to think about. And so Adam, from his creation until the time of the flood, we're going to work on that first. So go to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. Again, so this period of time covers two dispensations, the dispensation of innocence and the dispensation of the sons of Adam. Now, we're going to look at Genesis 5, and just look with me down to verse 3. We're not going to read this entire genealogy because you may go to sleep. I don't want to do that, but I want to show you enough information so you understand what I'm doing. Look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. Now, if you're reading your Bible at home, is this the part where you start speed scanning? Yeah, probably so. Just admit it. All right, but listen, there's a lot of information given there. Okay, so we have, no, just look at Adam for a second. We have Adam, and we have from the time that he was born until he had his first child. That's the first piece of information we have. It says Adam lived 130 years, and then he begat a son. Now, then it says after he had the son, he lived for 800 years. So we have that information. So he was 130 years old when he had a son. After he had a son, by the way, he had many sons, but it's just giving us that first one. There's a purpose in that. Now, after he had this son, Seth, he lives another 800 years. So then it gives us this information. He lived for 930 years. So three pieces of information. We have how old he was when he had his son. We have how long he lived after he had his son. And then it gives us the total, which we could add up, but it gives us the total of 930 years. The question is, which information do we want? Well, we don't want Adam's total age because Adam lived while his kids lived, okay? So if I want to know how long were the Gilberts on the earth, I wouldn't want to add my age and Jax's age and so on and so forth, because so far Jax's life has been within mine. Does that make sense? So it wouldn't be smart for me to add 40 and 50 and say, me and Jax have been on the earth for 50 years. No, we've just been on the earth 40 years if we're just looking at us. So the number we're really looking for, we need to go from birth to birth to birth to birth, because that is from when someone is zero until they have a child. And then we pick up with that child from when they're zero until they have a child. And then we pick up from when they have are zero till they have a child. When we do that, we're stringing a timeline together. Does that make sense? So that's the number we're interested in. So now looking at this genealogy, we see that Adam was 130 years old and he had a son. So in your blank there, write 130 years beside Adam. Go down to verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. So right out by Seth, you can write 105. Go down to verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. So you can write a 90 in by Enos. You can go down to verse 12. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. So Canaan was 70 years old. You can write that down. And then he had Mahalalel. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. So right over by Mahalalel, you can write 65. Jared lived, verse 18, 160 and 2 years and begat Enoch. Okay, so right over by Jared, 162. And Enoch lived 60 and 5 years and begat Methuselah. Okay, so 65 by Enoch. What's special about Enoch? He never died, right? So we don't have his death because he didn't die, but it does say how long he lived before he was taken. Go down to verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. 187 years by Methuselah. What's interesting about Methuselah? Does anyone know? Children? Yes, Amy. Children? Yeah, he lived the longest. 969 years. You know what else is interesting about him? If you study the genealogy, he died in the flood. Methuselah died in the flood, 969 years old. All right, so Methuselah, but that's extra information for us tonight. All we need is the 187 of when he had Lamech. Now, Lamech, if you'll look at verse 28, Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands." So Lamech was 182 years old when he had Noah. Now, again, we're trying to go from the creation to the flood. Notice, so far, we have built our timeline all the way from Adam to Noah. Noah is pretty important in relation to the flood. Wouldn't you agree? So now, we have Lamech was 182. So did everybody get those numbers? Okay, 130, 105, 90, 70, 65, 162, 65, 187, 182, 1,056 years, says Bo, and that is correct. So write that in total. 1,056 years from Adam until, and I know it says Lamech, but that's until Lamech had Noah, okay? And so that's till Noah's birthday. Now, that's not good enough, because did Noah gather the animals up in diapers and walk him into the flood? No, he was older, wasn't he? In fact, it's interesting. The Bible tells us exactly how old Noah was when the flood came. Look at Genesis 7 and look at verse 6. If you were at our Valentine's banquet, this was the tiebreaker question. Genesis 7, verse 6. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. All right, so I don't have a copy of your notes, but I'm pretty sure you got a blank there that's for 600 years. So for Noah, he's alive 600 years and then the flood happened. So 1,056 plus 600 is 1,656. Now, we need to add, again, we can get precise. We don't have to be super precise, but I like to be as close as we can. And the Bible tells us how long they were on the boat. So I like to add that time on there too. So look at Genesis 8 and look at verse number 13. The Bible says here, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering and looked, and behold, the face of the earth was dry. In the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, the earth was dried. And God spake to Noah, saying, go forth into the ark. So the flood came in the 600th year, in the 601st year, first month, actually second month, they get off the boat. So we need to add a year for the time that they were in the ark. You may not have known that before. Yeah, we sing the song 40 days and 40 nights. That's how long it rained. But it took a full year for the waters to abate off the earth and for them to come out. And so 1,657 years between the creation and the flood. Now, that's how we're going to do this as we move through history. We're going to look at these genealogies. We're going to basically add up people's birthdays. And we're working ourselves up to an event in history that we know the date to, okay? There's some events in history. We know the date because of history, good history that's been written down. Once we know one of those dates, we can go backwards and put a real number on all these points, which is pretty interesting. But anyway, so from creation to the flood, and actually it's till they get off the boat, is 1,656 years according to our Bible. So now we're going to move from the flood to Babel. Everybody hanging in there? 57, sorry. Yes. Did I write that wrong? 1657, I just said it wrong. Yeah. Yeah, I do that sometimes. Don't ask my wife. More often than you'd like, okay? So now we're going to move from the flood to Babel. So here's what's cool. After the flood, guess what's in your Bible? A genealogy. Yeah. And because we're starting a new time. So where do we want to go? The genealogy's in Genesis 11. And we need to pinpoint the day that the Tower of Babel happened. We need to pinpoint that. Now, when you're reading a genealogy, you need to pay attention. Because have you ever noticed, if you're not speed reading those names, every now and then there's just a little nugget of information. And you're like, why is that in there? Okay, because like in Genesis 10 here, we're reading through this genealogy, and all of a sudden it says, verse 9, and about Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. That's huge information given about Nimrod, and everyone else is just like, here's their name. Why is that in there? Well, that's another message for another time. I'm just telling you, pay attention when you have these little nuggets of information in the middle of a bunch of names. They're important. So now, we're going to look at the genealogy in chapter 11 after that Tower of Babel. But there's a genealogy given in chapter 10, and we need to look at it to try to see when the Tower of Babel occurred. So chapter 10 then, and look down to verse 21. Unto Shem, now here's, okay, let me read it. Unto Shem, also the father of all the children of Eber. By the way, Eber means Hebrew. Eber is Abraham's grandfather. Abraham was called the Hebrew. Why? Because he came from Eber, the Hebrew. Okay, verse 21. Unto Shem, this is the son of Noah, also the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gather, and Mash, and Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber, and Eber was born of two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan, and Joktan begat Elmodad. Hold on, did y'all see that? What it said there? Did you catch it? About Peleg? There was a little bit of information there. And we need to pay attention. Unto Eber, verse 25, were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg. For in his days, what does it say? Was the earth divided. You know what the name Peleg means if you look it up in a concordance? It means division and earthquake. That's what his name means. Peleg means division and earthquake. This is a reference. Bible scholars of the Old Testament many times call the Tower of Babel the Peleg experience, because in his days was the earth divided. When was the earth divided? It was divided at the Tower of Babel. God comes down. He confounds the language. So the human groups of people are split. And so now the people, they can't communicate. And so they begin to split with people that they can communicate with. So God divides the human race into groups and races and peoples. But also we know that it's very likely that that is when there was a lot of splitting of land as well. And plates moving and earthquakes happening and all that. Again, you'd want to study Genesis a little bit deeper to see all those things. But this all occurred after the Tower of Babel, after God came down and confounded their language. So when we're moving from the flood to Babel, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get from Noah's 601st birthday to Peleg's birthday. Does that make sense? So now we have our two points of reference and we can start working. Okay, so now go to Genesis 11. And again, you got to keep asking the question, why does God give me the information he gives me? So we're trying to go from the flood to Babel. I said, lo and behold, there is a genealogy here in chapter 11. Look at verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Oh, I didn't say this, but we're covering the sons of Noah. Okay, Shem was a son of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they are all making it to Babel, and then they spread after Babel. Okay. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Now, isn't that interesting that the next genealogy picks up and tells us this guy was born 2 years after the flood? See, God, in the Bible, there's an unbroken line of time. God doesn't leave us any gaps. And so we're going to see this, that he didn't have to tell us that. He could have just told us how old Shem was and said he had Arphaxad. But he gives us more information. He says Arphaxad was born 2 years after the flood. So from the flood to Arphaxad, you can write on your notes there, 2 years. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years, begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Selah. So right after Arphaxad, right, 35. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Selah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. A lot of people have asked, like, what would that be like to live that long? I'm just going to tell you, the way our world's going, I don't think I want to live that long. I mean, I don't have a death wish either, but you know what you'd see in 900 years of life? Be incredible. Verse 14, and Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. So right there by Selah, right, 30, begat Eber. And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. Again, there's our guy. So Eber to Peleg, 34 years. So now we can add up the years from the flood to the Tower of Babel, 2, 35, 30, 34. What you got, Bo? 101. All right. I elected you as the calculator man after that first one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't talk like that anymore, right? You owe me $5 and $30. Hey, yeah, 101. Okay, so our timeline is complete then for the day. So our flood to the Babel took us 101 years. The next thing we're going to look at, which we're done for the night, we got there. But now if you go, next thing we'll look at is from the Tower of Babel, we'll look down through the sons of Abraham. Of course, once we get into Abraham's family, we have really good genealogies to work with for a while, and we'll use those. But you can see how, you see what we're doing now? Okay, we're going to keep doing this until we get to 2023. And we're going to get all the way to us. Then we're going to look forward. But anyway, I hope at the very least you're excited about the information God's given us. And you can see that, you know, how many times have we read Genesis and read all past those names and kind of sped read and thought, man, what kind of boring stuff is this? I've done the same thing. Still in my Bible reading today, I find myself speed reading these things. But there's so much good stuff there if we'll slow down. So again, we'll pause here. We'll be back here next week. We'll go a little bit further. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And I know that tonight is just more or less information, but this will all come together. I know it will. And by the time we get done, or at least when we've moved through history a little bit further, Lord, we'll have a really good grasp of our Old Testament and what's written in it and why. And so I pray you continue, even through a study where it seems like we're just adding up years and doing math, I pray you continue to just to help excite us for your word and give us the truth from it. Lord, help us to live the way you want us to live the next, our whole life, but certainly this week. Help us to be a witness, a light, a testimony to those around us. Father, please be with these that we've mentioned in prayer tonight, and we pray you continue to work on the behalf of each one who needs you. We thank you for everything. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.